Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, and it's Clay and Iron, and we're going to have a special guest today, Dr. Fred Bell, of course, who has his show on PBS Radio, and we're going to kind of discuss some very important topics that people may not be aware of, but it's actually been researched for the last century, both in the former Soviet Union, Eastern Bloc countries, and, of course, through the NSA and other organizations, looking at the effects of electromagnetic effects on bodies and living things. Welcome to the program, Dr. Fred.
How are you doing there, Dr. Bill?
Well, excellent. And in fact, I had an interesting call today that kind of may frame the discussion. And I just received two videotapes, a DVD, Earth Changes the Ripple Effect from Dr. Nick Begich, and Harp, the update. And his quote below it is, "Angels still don't play this harp." And kind of a good frame. And then I had a call from a lady who called me and that said she is a subject of electronic harassment, and I'm sure you've probably received lots of calls from people that are trying to counteract this.
Yeah, we started dealing with that back in the mid-70s when I used to get complaints from people that, some little old, usually from old people that were single, and at first I thought they were just paranoid. They would say, well, they moved into this new place and there's a gray van with a little antenna on the top, you know, like a little microwave antenna, and it's aimed at my apartment, and I'm getting these weird vibes. And then they'd say that then these people in the would move in next door, and I'm feeling sick, and blah blah blah. After I got, you know, I was traveling with the National Health Federation, and this is in the mid '70s, and then after I'd been to several cities and heard the same thing, I realized these people didn't know each other. There was no conspiracy amongst old retired people that this was going on. They were playing these psychological war games with them, and probably because they weren't connected to anything and they were victims. You know, I mean, they could cry for help and nobody would hear them.
Yeah, I heard there was a title that was passed some years ago that allowed all American citizens to be used for mind experiments, biological experiments, bioweapons experimentation, which has gone on over the last century pretty repetitively, including our troops.
Yeah,
exposed
to
radiation and vaccines and all kinds of psychotronic warfare.
That's true, and so we developed, I had contact with the extraterrestrials at that time, and I was asking them what was going on, and they were explaining it to me, and so then we developed a thing called a star orb, which we've been using and selling ever since those days, that when you install it in the house, it takes that kind of energy and neutralizes it and resends it into something that's usable by the human body. It requires some grounding wires and circuits and stuff. You've probably seen some of that stuff in my book. You finally did get my book, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I've had the books, and I've been looking through that. And of course, how do you differentiate the technology you're using and the ones that you hear that are out there now? There's a bunch of them out now, like the Tribe Orbs, which is like vitamins through the patches, and there's the, what's it called, BioPro, which is another device that came out of some research out of Germany. What's the difference in the technology?
Well, what we found is that our technology, a lot of people try to copy what I originally did, that's for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like, obviously, you've been doing this for about 20 years.
Yeah.
Then obviously, the others are knockoffs.
We started out with basic shape energy. That's where we started. And when you use basic shape energy, we looked at the most effective part of the human body, which is the red blood cell. So we decided, and I realized that geometry was very important in the direction and rectification and processing of energy. And so we chose the shape of the red blood cell, which is an octahedron, to be our shape. And anytime you take a mass of anything and interrupt space and time, it creates an energy from it. And then we did a lot of testing with it, with those shapes, and we found that the octahedron was the best shape, and we made a larger version of it. And then when we experimented with the pyramids, like right side up and upside down, we found that it affected the yin and yang points of the body, the female and male energy points. And so what we did, we also found that when you tie a stainless steel wire to the end of the peak of a pyramid, that energy would go somewhere. It would direct it. And we made these therapy tables years ago that had these pyramids in them with jacks, little, RCA jacks on the side, connected to different tiers of the pyramids. And so the lower pyramids would represent the lower meridians and the higher tiers would represent the higher. And we could actually do acupuncture with needles hooked to these tiers and it would blow through meridian points that were blocked with tremendous veracity. That was the original research we did. So then what happened next was we took the star orb, and we developed it. We took the top of it, and we tied it to the bottom. We took the east and the west sides of it, which are all octahedrons, and we tied them all to the center. So it looks like a giant stainless steel cross in the middle of it, and the outside of it looks like pyramids right side up and down in all directions. Then we grounded that energy. We found that if we ground that energy to a pipe, usually better a ground wire outside, that it absorbed anything that wasn't harmonious to the human body would be absorbed in this device. And then what things that were good came out of it. It re-radiated the corrected energy fields. You know, it's like if you have a box is the worst acoustic, or a rectangle is the worst acoustic and energy form to live in. The ultimate thing to live in would be a tetrahedron or a pyramid, or at least a geodesic form of some sort. That's the better. It breaks up the energy. And so we then later on found out that this stuff coming from space that you and I have talked about on other shows has a definite detriment to the life giving frequencies of DNA. So we were able to test this by connecting this device, a star orb, to refrigerators. And because refrigerators are getting 60 cycles, you know, of power, they're susceptible to these energies, and the food will go bad quicker. So when we put the star orb on, we can keep fresh, like salads and vegetables, fresh for many, many more weeks than normal. Normally, food goes bad in a refrigerator in X amount of days, depending on what it is.
Right.
Can triple and quadruple the life of it, you know, with this device. So we had a lot of ways of proving it. I haven't seen other devices on the market connect to a refrigerator and have any measurable results. You know?
Right. So what you're basically doing is you're using, as they talk about, sacred geometry to create a scalar neutralizing field.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And then, now, is there energy required? Like, do you have to put a power source on this?
It works like, remember the old crystal radios? Remember the crystal cat whisker detector in them?
Right.
In the old days, you just had that as a energy source, and it rectified a frequency off a tank circuit, and it made a audible sound, you know, through a headphone. It works sort of like that, except that the crystalline structure in this device is the actual shape of the pyramid structure, and the tuning is the stainless steel wires, and the antenna becomes ground, so it actually receives something and then grounds it out rather than going to your ears for an audio component.
Yeah, so in some ways it's similar to the Pierce Arrow car. We use different lengths of elements and tubes so we could actually tune it.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything
when I used to race cars, we would tune the intake manifold to the exhaust pipe length.
Right.
And you would establish a resonance frequency of velocity of fuel mixture air coming in and a lack of back pressure resonance going out. And you can make hundreds of more horsepower out of a motor than normal.
Right. Well, of course, they use the same thing when they want to rectify the circuit so that you have perfect harmony between the power source coming into a house and, say, a motor.
Yeah.
So if you don't rectify the motor windings, you can tremendously waste power when you're trying to drive motors, right?
Yeah, you can. They use capacitor start motors, and they switch the phase, gives it more torque to start, and then it goes to another phase to keep it running. And
right.
The phase being the waveform between the armature and the stator, which is, you know, not moving. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, and we know that, for example, that the human body and all living things respond to the Schumann resonance of the Earth, which is somewhere around 10.5 hertz.
Right.
Scalar hertz. And obviously they're doing a lot of research. What I've heard is that over in Fallujah and over in Iraq, they're doing what's called mass-scale psychotronic warfare against the citizens of these countries, that they have these on the top of Humvees. In fact, it's been posted on Alex Jones. I have other documents from my other sources. You can actually see pictures of these, and they're parabolic dishes that will blast a harmonic tune frequency and even scalar recordings of a fear signal that affect the fear nuclei in the brain, the other ones to create images or impulses that will actually send an image right into their mind. And a lot of people don't believe these things are real, but, of course, they're actual weapons that have been completely developed.
Oh, they went back to World War II.
Right, and these are, of course, one of the things that people are not aware of, and this includes, quote, doctors and specialists and scientists. They have to be aware of this fact if they're listening to this program, that only about 5% or less of all research in medicine, science, technology, and physics, etc., is available to the regular PhDs. It's only the other 95% is only available on a need-to-know basis that's highly classified and funded by the globalists that have been in control of Earth science going back to the ancient mystery schools thousands and thousands of years. Right?
I agree.
And so what's happened is people that think that they are a PhD and they're the pinnacle of knowledge, they're barely scratching the surface before they get access to these higher classified areas. And this goes well back before modern history.
Well, I think that a lot of PhDs that I've worked with over the years that come out of these schools with these degrees in biochemistry and electronics and physics, they're too headstrong. They don't have a gut feeling for what really goes on. They're living out of a textbook. And that's that's a lot of people in a lot of companies all over the world.
Well, the problem is, you see, real intelligence is a multidimensional thing, and all the great scientists were all philosopher priests, and we often know intuitively something long before we can actually prove it in a scientific rigorous method using the Cox postulates and the principles of scientific observation, hypothesis, and testing. And that's the problem, and a lot of people say, well, these things can't possibly exist, but they do. When I spoke in 42 cities 7 years ago, traveling across America with a group called the Prophecy Club, and I talked about the classified research I'd seen on mind-control technologies, I got flooded with people coming in afterward with their CT scans and even microchips still in the flesh and test tubes or extracted. CT in all kinds of, I had to say, stop. You know, you see all the people with the manila envelopes. I said, uh-oh, here's more manila envelope people coming at me.
Yeah.
And, or they could whip out their bag and they'd actually have a test tube with a surgically removed microchip. And you could see that a lot of these chips were definitely not human technology oriented. These were very elegant, very, very miniaturized. One of the most bizarre ones that I've ever seen was one that actually had like three poles on one end and one on the other. And this thing looked like it was smaller than a grain of rice. And you could see that this was like one melded piece, and it was a very, very advanced technology. And what I was told is this was a type of gallium arsenide chip.
Right.
And, of course, yes, we have gallium arsenide supercomputers like the ones that I saw at Falcon, but to keep you controlled and properly operating, you had to keep it under liquid nitrogen at 193 degrees Kelvin below zero.
Paul Benowitz, back in the early 80s, he owned a company called Thunder Corporation. Do you remember that one? It's outside of the Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but tell me more.
I worked with him a little bit, not directly, but indirectly with his people. And he was a pilot. He had a twin-engine plane, and he did two things. Myrna Hansen was one of the first 1981 abductees to be implanted. Her and her daughter both were abducted. Well-documented case. And in my slideshow, when you come to the seminar, by the way, we'll mention that a little bit, what we're going to talk about. But
right.
In my slideshow, what you will see at the seminar is an actual photograph out of her head taken at the Presbyterian Hospital in Albuquerque of an implant before it was removed.
Right.
And I remember he also, at that time, I was working with a lot of radiology labs all
right
up and down the West Coast, because I had some medical stuff I was doing with Paradigm at the time.
Right.
And they all were, at that time, there was a rash of implants that they were removing, and they would call them some form of alien substance, and they didn't know how it got it in there, but it seemed to be not functioning properly, needed to be removed. And when I asked Semyazi from the Pleiades about that, she told me that the Greys had introduced a technology to our government back in the 60s, the body is 5% minerals, and, of course, the brain is an electrolyte. It's a battery. The
right
brain effectively is a battery powering up positive and negative circuits called receptors and effectors,
right,
which switch hormones at different rates. And the electromagnetic discharge of these hormones creates an aura field in our consciousness as we know it. So they were able to tap into that reservoir of the brain and get the electricity from that to run these little chips that we're talking about. I know that was quite fascinating at the time.
Yeah, you can see that makes sense, because they have actual chips I've seen that run on the thermistors that use the movement or the heat of muscles.
Right.
And other bioelectronic activity just of the body to run
that
the
check. Measured by an electromyograph. You know, we use that
yeah, exactly.
in the medical profession, as you know, to look at the muscle available energy.
Yeah, and they have some summation capacitors that can create a DC circuit, you know, power source for the chip.
Right. And then my friend Norm Hayes, who I want to introduce you to at some point, another rocket scientist, the guy that did all the DNA work for the cops, made it RFL or PCR testing from 6 weeks to 6 seconds almost with his techniques. But he got a perpetual motion patent from the University of Davis, California, utilizing the changes of, you know, the astrological lunar changes of oil in a capacitor, like GE Pyrenol capacitors. And that what that did is it provided enough power to run these liquid crystal displays. Remember those in the watches when that was a big fad?
Right.
And the problem with liquid crystals was that if it ever lost power, like from the battery that was in it, and didn't have a backup power supply source, the crystal system would go dead, and it would never be retrievable again. It would be a dead circuit, dead watch. So
right.
This didn't create enough power to make a motor run or light your house up, but it did create enough power to be installed in a watch and different kinds of instrumentation at the time.
Right.
And so that circuitry is naturally found in the human brain also. Yeah. So thought I'd bring that up, too,
yeah,
while
so
we were at
lots of different
it, you know?
Sources of power now. The why and the wherefore is, you know, obviously we have a conflict of civilizations occurring. The fact that we have some very nasty people in our government that would trade technology or other things for either mineral rights, human or other non-human, you know, animal DNA and so on for experimentation or whatever. Why are they doing these individual targeted kind of harassments, and why have they decided now in Iraq and other places in their field of battle to amp this up to populations? What do you know of their plans?
Well, you know, there's two things going on that's really kind of contradictory. One is this Project Awareness. I've got one friend of my friends in intelligence that is working on that project and bringing out to the public mainly through the entertainment industry, information about extraterrestrial activity is the real deal, you know, like Steven Spielberg.
People like Spielberg, right?
Huh? Spielberg and Stephen J. Cannell is another one, and there's several of them.
Right.
And that are working on these projects. And
are these government projects, or are they...
No, the government, they get information from the government, and then they make movies, you know,
right.
along, and there's leaked information. More and more gets leaked out.
Right.
On the other hand, what I'm seeing is the population control, Hague, we call it the Hague-Kissinger depopulation policy, which Lyndon LaRoche published back in 1981 in the Executive Intelligence Review magazine out of Washington, D.C.,
right.
in the March 3rd issue, where he talked about this depopulation policy. And then I worked personally with the federal government producing the Global 2000 report to the president, which came out in 1981 under the Carter administration,
right.
or Reagan administration, produced previous to that by the Carter administration.
Right.
44 different government agents, 19 federal agencies, including everyone we've ever talked about, plus 44 different countries participated in that. And they said that basically in the end, and they even admitted in that report, which was a government report, and I sold almost every one ever printed out of the government printing office bookstores, which is a great place to go to get for information. They're in major cities.
Right.
And when I helped distribute that, they mentioned that high-flying jet aircraft was creating a problem with the ozone layer, which was I always had said that, not Freon. And they actually came out with quite a bit of truth in that. But what they were also saying is that the acid rain and the alkaline rain was destroying areas the size of the state of Maine annually, permanently, and they said that beyond 10 billion, this planet can't support life. It just can't do it. And that was a pretty blatant statement by the government and all these agencies. And so now you don't hear about the Global 2000 report anymore, but I've got all the, you can look it up on the internet, I've got all
yeah.
the original copies of it here. And you can see by understanding that, the new modus operandi of the psychological warfare that I feel, I still think that because of knowing the history of IG Farben and Merck, drug industries, how they were so beneficial in the funding of the Third Reich, and that included a lot of Joseph Mengele's work, and
right.
a lot of other people that I actually worked with that were probably worse than him, that nobody knew about, came over here on Paperclip, which you and I have talked about.
Right, we talked about the secret treaty of Fort Hunt, Virginia, where they brought General Reinhard Galen in and all these other people that through Operation Paperclip, not only to these rocket programs, but biological weapons, torture, mind control, you name it, Nazi science, they brought it over here.
Yeah, and I, as I wrote in my book in the very first chapters, Raise the Truth, prisoners. Prisoners were a great place to experiment in the federal penitentiary, especially death row types. Because who are they going to complain to? Nobody.
Well, yeah, in fact, the project that I turned down that I was recruited to work at UCLA in 78 was to work at the VA hospital in Santa Monica, and they were using prisoners from West Orange and Irvine to do mind control experiments and implant chips and platinum and palladium wired and hook them up to satellites and do mind conversion experiments, converting them to from analog to digital analysis of their brain circuit patterns, so they could then project their thoughts and know what they think and actually control them. And they were doing all this stuff back in 78. They had even a mock-up of a good helmet to convert thoughts directly to commands to fly a high-speed jet, and it was right there in Dr. Tortolot's office.
Yeah, I remember that stuff because I got it through my, at that time, network, because I was only like 5 or 6 years out of the core of the work I was doing with all these secret projects anyway in those days. I'd started Paradigm, but I still had a lot of my connections, and I had this core group that worked on the SR-71 and then later on the Aurora, and there was about 40 or 50 local engineers that we used together.
Yeah, the whole issue
about
of the
classified stuff over dinner, you know.
Absolutely.
It came up quite often, you know.
Well, the thing about all of this technology, a lot of the premises, like the population carrying load and so on, are all manufactured by the people who want to create shortages, because the technologies that we're currently using are actually creating a situation that's opposite of, you know, it's the opposite of what Buckminster Fuller said, that there would be, there's no such real inherent shortage of energy, power. I personally worked on a project when I was doing my PhD research project at age 20 and completed it in 5 months that took Chondrus crispus seaweed, and I could grow 100 pounds in 1 week, convert it to food in a matter of just a day or two using this digestive enzyme that I had supercultured. That where I made this artificial radioisotope substrate, and it was able to create a superculture that 100 million times more powerful enzyme that could convert it to the most powerful high-protein and mineral-rich food supplement for all animals known in a matter of a week. So this idea of food shortage is all based on control. Same way as energy.
Totally is. I agree.
Same way we have technologies, for example, they're purposely soiling the earth with depleted uranium to create a reason for this, the way we have our highways. Why do we have highways? I don't understand why there's even highways. We have 26,000 so many deaths. You know, if there is a future 20 or 30 years from now, they'll look back and say, you mean you personally drove your cars and people could get in them impaired and could just kind of drive off the road or smash into other people and there wasn't, you know, to me, a lot of the things we do just don't make any sense at all.
Well, I know, for example, one of the oldest freeways in California, Southern California, is the 710. That's called the Long Beach Freeway. It goes from Long Beach up to Los Angeles. That's just about, and then from there up to Pasadena in a narrowed form when it converts to the Pasadena Freeway. They actually had, in the design of that freeway, stands for a above-the-freeway monorail to run a train, not a train on the ground, but a monorail up on top, like
right.
they have at Disneyland. And they built it for that. That was the idea of that freeway. It was funded, the bottom, the foundations, all that was put in, but it never came to pass. All of a sudden, the Southern California concept of building freeways changed to freeways that kill people rather than save lives and use more energy and create more pollution. And that idea on the 710, if it had been done, all the other freeways would have followed suit and
yeah,
would have
exactly.
had a double system here, you know,
yeah,
a much better system.
It's a very strange thing, and of course, you know, we now have total gridlock in California, and they have these freeways are eating up the land everywhere, including in many other countries, the arable land.
Yeah.
So
we call them California is called a Southern California freeways are called a large parking lot.
Yeah. Well, back to the issue of the technologies you have. So when you're able to create these type of fields, you can neutralize it. Plus also, I'm certain that further advances can be made to not only diagnose the exact field effect. In fact, I read that 3 years ago that an Italian company developed a wand-like device that could actually pick up the harmonic frequency aura of cancer, and they could just, they were actually demonstrating it right there in Milan. And it was funny. They would wave it past somebody. If they had cancer, the, you know, the thing would immediately alert.
Wow.
And if it didn't, then it wouldn't show up. Of course, what it is we know that just like the dogs can smell a melanoma, they've actually done studies on this, that the body also generates specific frequencies based on the molecular structure of the molecules and free radicals that are very powerful dipoles that will generate a scalar field.
Yeah.
And, of course, they have, you know, just like light harmonics, just like musical harmonics or scales, that's what we're detecting there. And if we had devices like Bones does in Star Trek, we could very simply diagnose and also produce a neutralizing field either for psychotronic weapons or what we call very dangerous situations like chemical exposure, radiation exposure, et cetera, or even neutralize things such as viruses using neutralizing scalar fields.
Yeah.
Has anyone developed those kinds of things available now, either in the public domain or in research that you know of?
What do you mean? The field generators?
Yeah.
Yeah, that we build those generators. Those are our quad systems and our systems three. And I used to tell people 20 years ago, someday you'll need to go inside your house to get high and balanced. And so we've been building systems like that for a long time. And we can create these huge fields. I have a device here. We call it the flamethrower. And what it is, it's a pyramidal shaped device. I don't think you've ever seen a picture of one of them.
Right.
It's shaped like a cross, sort of like a cross. And it has coils on it. It's a combination of the pyramid structures with the, you know, utilizing the wiring that we use on them, on the apexes and across the bases of them, but we also use capacitors, diodes, and capacitors, diodes, and resistors to create tank circuits in it that trap EMF and reverse it. And the way this thing got tested originally was that
If there's EMF pollution, in other words, this
is a major test. Yeah,
and analogous to a HEPA air filter. This is like a HEPA electronic air filter.
Exactly. And the way it got tested was, at the time I had a pickup truck years ago, and as Semyonti told me, we were going to take it up to Dulce, New Mexico, and give it the ultimate test on an installation up there. I said okay. So I got in my truck and took my wife at the time, a German girl, Franca, and we went up there. We went up to Santa Fe, New Mexico. We picked up a lady. She was an heiress named Ann Rainbow and her husband, Ken. And we proceeded up to Dulce, New Mexico at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she had me park on in a river, you know, like on a small river, in the river, actually, and wait 14 minutes. And she said that in 14 minutes, there was going to be an alien gray spaceship fly at our truck. And I'm telepathically communicating with her, and I had these three witnesses. And I had this thing in the back. She says, we're going to show you how this works. Okay. So I'm like, all right, I'll do that. So that's exactly 14 minutes later, at about 10 or 15 feet off the ground, a 22 or 23-foot in diameter spaceship putting out a greenish-yellow glow flew directly at the windshield of my truck with all these negative energies. There was a load of grays in there, obviously. The thing in the device in the back, the flamethrower at the time, it wasn't as developed as it is now, started humming, it started vibrating. The ship stopped within about 15 feet of the front of my windshield, you know, I mean right there.
Right.
If it had gone anymore, it had gone through it. It changed into a bunch of colors, and then all the occupants in the truck could sense that the beings inside were being horrifically affected by the reversal of some kind of energy they were throwing at us.
Right.
The ship then backed up, made some zigzag motions, and left very quickly as it came.
Right. It's almost as if you were able to reverse and send it back where it came.
Yeah, and the bottom line of it was, you know, Ann Rainbow and her husband had lived in Santa Fe, and they used to point at little twinkling stars and things and say, these are rainbow spaceships. My wife had never been up close and personal with one before at that time, and they all shit their pants. And they became believers. They absolutely could not deny that this happened. There was no drugs, no alcohol. Everybody was completely grounded for this. They didn't drink anyway. And that's the kind of tests we've had run on some of our devices.
Yeah, and obviously you see an example there where we have negative beings, negative energy. And so if we want to convert it to the parlance of the, quote, conventional religions, what we're dealing with is, if you want to call higher dimensional beings, or if you want to call them demonic entities, these are creatures that don't really have our best interests in mind and don't mind making treaties to get whatever they want in order to do what they want, and breaking those treaties anytime they feel like doing it, too.
Well, you know, it was really funny because you're right. When I have a doctor, he's a chiropractor back on the East Coast, semi-retired.
Right.
He's one of my clients. He lives in Cape Cod. And Dr. Liu, his name is. And he ordered four of these flamethrowers. And this happened, he put the order in right after 9/11. Okay? And so when UPS delivered the flamethrowers, they're in big boxes, probably 4 feet by 1 foot by 4 feet square, and there's four of them. The lady, it said on the invoice, flamethrowers. When he received those, he wasn't home, but his wife was. When the UPS dropped the stuff off, about an hour later, the sheriff showed up. This is a true story.
Yeah.
I had a guy on the radio and wanted to know what they were doing with flamethrowers. So she wouldn't let him in the house until he came home, and he explained them away as geometric sculptures. You know, that's how he described them. They went away. But they were all over him and his wife about the fact that they had four flamethrowers from Pyrenees. That was more than a coincidence.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a true story. And I've got lots of stories like that over the years where we come out with something bizarre and we get a bizarre reaction from some government facility or some agency. You know?
Well, it shows also that they have a knee-jerk reaction, which isn't very intelligent, considering that although a lot of most of the terrorism, like 9/11 in Oklahoma City, were government-sponsored, as they keep harassing these people all in other countries, they can expect some homegrown terrorism that's going to come back that will be considerably more organized than we can anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. Right now, people say, oh, no, it's all government. Yes, it is at this point. But you continue to irradiate, bombard, and destroy countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and Iran, and then pretty soon you're going to be dealing with a very, very big catastrophe on your hands.
Well, I don't know what's going on with Iran right now. As far as I'm concerned, Bush is completely out of control.
Absolutely.
And I think everybody, even the Republicans, are agreeing with that now.
Well, now,
I think we're bipartisan for the first time in years because of him.
Well, I think, he scares everybody. I think even his so-called handlers,
you
want to call it, just like in the game reserve,
mm-hmm.
his handlers are starting to freak out that maybe this guy thinks he's president.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know, going back to when we first started, in my book, we were talking about mind control in prisons with drugs.
Right.
It was Gary Gilmore was the one that I used as an example of. He was at Lompoc Penitentiary, and then he was up in Oregon. Gary Gilmore was only an armed bank robber.
Right.
And they gave him long-term torture chemicals of Prolixin, Dartel and Thorazine, which I'm sure you're quite aware of.
Right.
And they kept injecting him with this, and when they let him out, then he became a serial killer. Gary Gilmore.
Yeah, well, part of some of these things are actually experiments to see what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Take someone like Timothy McVeigh, of course, was another project that was, a decoy Manchurian candidate that was all set up.
Yeah, Timothy, not only was there two people in the truck,
right.
I think there's even more than one truck.
Oh, of course, and that's why all the tapes disappeared. That brings us back to an issue. When we have people that are calling, and obviously there's a lot of thousands of people out there that are involved with these, we call stalking and harassing.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when they see a conventional medical doctor, they just say, well, it's a knee-jerk reaction. You're immediately schizophrenic. You're paranoid schizophrenic. These can't possibly be happening. But when, for example, I've seen people, I had one gentleman who was a welder, and he was working down at General Dynamics in Needles, California, and it turned out that he needed an orthopedic procedure because he had an accident and broke his ankle. And when he came out, he had a nosebleed. He said, what the hell is going on here? And, of course, he started having weird headaches and visions and everything when sounds in his head. So he went to the neurologist eventually, neurosurgeon. They did CT scans and found these microchips in his brain.
I believe that.
Yeah, and, of course, he was told by the doctors, he said, well, they must have stuck them in while you're getting your orthopedic procedure. So it was a cribriform plate with a big needle, you know, right through the the top of your nose, which is why he had a nosebleed, because he didn't have a nasal cannula for the intubation of the procedure. He had a normal oral tracheal tube.
Most
so, and he wasn't prone to nosebleeds. Pardon me?
Implanted through the nasal cavity, believe it or not. I've heard a lot of cases like that. And then, of course, other ones are behind the ear, you know.
Right.
And then in the Myrna Hansen case, hers was directly in the brain. Now, I know one thing for a fact about the insertion of some of these devices, and I can explain this to you, and you'll understand it.
Right.
The technology that the Grays use is very similar. As a matter of fact, we learned the technology from them. Here's the technology. If you are designing a automobile part, a one-time prototype of, a distributor cap, and you want to make a one-off item really cheap, you take a CAD drawing, you throw it in a computer. The computer then sends it to a helium-cadmium laser,
right,
which then starts lasing with a scanner this image into a solution of plastic. Basically, it's molten kind of plastic, and the reaction of the helium-cadmium light beam in very, very articulated architecture of that distributor cap hardens the material that is the liquid into a part. It actually makes a part. Do you follow how that goes?
Right, yeah.
You buy these machines. So what the Grays do is when they take somebody up in one of their ships, you hear whether people are strapped down and they're looking up at some device that's pointing at their head.
Right.
That's a projector that's projecting an image of the implant into that person's head at some preordained place.
Right.
And then it solidifies the gray matter of the brain and the minerals once again into a part, you know, into an actual implant. Those are the pretty hard ones to get out. So that's one manner of insertion that I'm aware of. But like I say, you have to have the patient strapped down and pretty not much moving or it'll screw it up. So.
Yeah, what it basically is it's got to be a scalar amplifier that allows it to connect the individual and certain nuclei of their brain so that they have a data bus through the person's mind.
Yeah, I think I'm not up on the technology per se of the intimate details of which nerve, but I mean this has got to be one hell of a sophisticated technology to know what nerve to go through out of the millions of nerves in the head.
Right.
You know?
The one that I saw was actually they were drilling holes in the optic cortex right through the skull and actually putting these little chips in. The real primitive ones, they drill multiple little wires and they'd have them in like a little Brillo pad, you know, with the little wires sticking through right through the skull.
Yeah.
The more sophisticated ones actually lifted some of the skull up and then implanted the device with hundreds of little tiny micro electrodes directly on the cortex.
Yeah.
And of course, the still more fancy ones actually were actually growing nerves on the microchip itself, and then implanting this microchip with nerves that were actually already interdigitated with the digital analog chips, so that when the nerves interdigitated with the normal nervous system, rather than it being a machine, it was a living neuron that was actually kind of growing and connecting through its dendrites to the human nervous system.
Right. And there was one that, what was his name, in the 1984 Texas shooting of the University of Texas at Austin?
Right.
Whitney or Whitman, do you know who I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that did the shooting, he shot 14 people. He was the first mass murderer that, was on record of doing a big shooting. A lot of them came after that, like the McDonald's and all those others. When they did an autopsy on his brain, they found two implants, one on each side. And then I found out later that the way those type of implants work, and that's might have been what's his name had the shot, Kennedy. The way those work is they stimulate a nerve in the brain. They can only be hooked up to certain psychological profiles of a person.
Right.
They stimulate an anger network and a paranoia network in the brain, causing that person to get more and more frustrated every day.
Yeah, well, what they told me
they
back in UCLA is they actually had them wired what's called a kill reflex into certain nuclei, And what they did is they conditioned them so when they hit them with the signal, they could literally, this is what they told me, they could flip a switch and they would kill them. They'd throw another switch and would turn them off immediately and they'd stop killing.
Yeah, I believe that because it relieves that pressure.
Yeah.
It relieves the pressure. And then what I understood is that these actions are preordained. In his case, they started regulating semi-automatic weapons because that's what he used. And then there was a McDonald's shooting in San Diego. And every time that one of these implanted individuals would cause mass havoc, there would be national legislation governing so supposedly this wouldn't happen. And this is when I began to realize that via implants, they were using this as a modus operandi to get rid of our constitutional freedoms. It was one more end game.
Absolutely. You know, this is what happened in Oklahoma City. The officer who told me this actually later got court-martialed, and of course I got fired and death threats because he found out, and I told him, I said, I'm going to dump a safe of information on you, so you are going to write me a big check and a good reference letter, and if you follow me, I said, I'm very intuitive. I'll know you if you're doing anything within 500 miles.
Yeah.
So you have to play hardball with these guys, otherwise if they think that you're a pushover, they'll do anything to you.
Yeah. No, I know. I know about playing hardball, believe me.
Oh, yeah.
Playing major hardball here.
Yeah, and I think that we're almost at the point where the dialogue is going to stop shortly. I think a lot of people think that, and there are, you know, there may be some room for having constitutional issues of having the states secede and reform a constitutional convention to reform the union, because as far as I'm concerned, the federal government is completely over the edge. And it doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. I call it two sides of the belly of the same snake.
Yeah.
And they're doing all these weird mind control experiments. Like, it's real obvious. You can actually see the real pictures of these so-called non-lethal weapons, they call them. Many of them are mind control. Some are sound weapons.
Yeah.
Some are thermal weapons that make your skin feel like it's on fire. And other ones can pump directly. Not only fear waves directly into you, like these fences that Major Stoltz and his friend were actually, he was asked a few months ago to go to Saudi Arabia to sell this American-made technology that sets up a perimeter fence between Saudi Arabia and Yemen. You don't need to put a fence, you put towers.
Yeah.
If someone advances between the towers, they get hit with these mind-control frequencies that will knock you to the ground and put you in a fetal position. It gives you a warning first, and if you keep going, you're going to get basically on the ground drooling.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
And they have all these things, and it's like, sorry, this is real. They have these technologies now. And, in fact, I talked to Nick Begich, and he got an entire gigabyte of information from the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah.
About a lot of these advanced technologies that he's writing up in his latest books and DVDs to show that they're going further. And the HARP technology is not just for weather modification or geotectonics. It's tied directly into global satellites and other towers like the Gwen and the cell towers that can pump a signal directly to you. In fact, what I've heard is once they have your DNA, they can actually tune their harmonic frequency effects directly into your DNA of your cells.
Right.
Have you heard similar things, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Which is one of the reasons why the world ID and the national ID, which eventually will become a world ID, requires your DNA. Because they can actually tune it just like tuning into a specific station so that you could receive a signal.
Well, here's what I'm seeing on the local crime front, because I work with community projects and I work with some judges and I do community work and help people that are disabled, and that's part of my volunteer stuff. What I've seen is that now people can get arrested for like a DUI or something and hauled into jail, and forcibly they will... for a crime, it's just a misdemeanor. I mean, I don't believe in DUIs, but I mean, it's a misdemeanor. And they're taking forcible DNA samples off just about everybody they can now.
Oh, yeah, well, they're trying to widen it out. So you see, they have even a misdemeanor. Used to be only convicted felons. Then it's misdemeanors. Pretty soon, it's children because they could be stolen. Then before you know it, it's anybody that travels into the country from another country that's not an American. And then pretty soon, it's all Americans.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So I think, and I've mentioned this, I had on my program on the Nutramedical Report the other day, Pastor Butch Paugh, who talked about this, and he's not had a driver's license in West Virginia for 8 years, and he's challenged the DMV in West Virginia to say, you know, this is a violation of states' rights. But people have to understand it on their level, because when you get into these advanced technologies of mind control that they think, well, this is just an ID and they're going to track us, and if I'm not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to fear, that's garbage. What they're doing is erecting a matrix to totally control every human being on Earth, and if they feel in their mind that they want to call the population, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if they want to dump you down...
They have a driver's license.
Right. They also want to deny us the advanced anti-aging technology
because
that's coming down the pike very quickly, so that only the elite will have it so they can live centuries, but they want a human lifespan to be contracted maybe to 30 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's going the other way.
Right. Yeah, of course it is. And we have many things like read on my website, NutriMedical, right now. We have stem cell releasers, stem enhance. We have things like RPA, electrolyzed structured water. There's all kinds of technologies that you've developed that will affect the DNA. We have things like humic fulvic zeolite that will actually pull out all the heavy metals from the DNA and from your toxins from your body. It's been proven many times that if you grew cells with all the nutrients and all the toxins removed, the cell would never die.
Exactly.
And that's why we can have some of these plants where you get the right harmonic frequencies and you have no toxins. Like Sonic Bloom, these plants will go on living for many years more than they're told that they could ever exist.
Yeah.
So the human lifespan is actually not limited by a lot of the things they tell you it is.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, up until the scalar wave warfare of Atlantis in 12,495 BC, Methuselah is a prime example. People lived 300 or 400 years. Easily.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. And what they did there was they sent a harmonic into the Earth's resonant field, the 10.5 Hertz field, and what they did with that harmonic, it's like a rider on the frequency. That's how ELF, ELF, if they're going to send a negative ELF, say at 3.2 Hertz to you or 3.3 Hertz to you, it comes in on a carrier. It doesn't just come as that. It comes in on a carrier, usually through the ground.
Right.
It comes through water, a lot of water deposits. But anyway, The transmitters are down in Sydney, Australia, and they're about a mile into the ground with these antennas. They go underground. But anyway, they release this vibratory frequency that affects all DNA, and it's shortened from that time on till now. It's shortened the lifespan here. And now what we're trying to do is reverse that. But unfortunately, to reverse that part of the whole, the equation, we would have to change the attitude of the people here, because the growth-resistant generation is holding that aura in a fixed position, politics primarily and geopolitics. So it cannot rectify itself. The Earth itself would actually probably clean itself up and make it possible for us to live longer. Then all these other things would be feathers in the cap,
Right. Right now, for example, everything on the food supply is things like aspartame, MSG, mercury, genetically modified frankenfoods that don't have the proper infrared signal for our cells to even absorb it.
Right.
And when
you use mercury in heavy metals, what it does is it deadens the resonance structure of the crystalline structure of DNA. It's like freezing. It's like spraying nitrogen on it, liquid nitrogen.
Which is why it's the opposite of monoatomic palladium or gold that affects the DNA to pick up the harmonic frequencies, because the DNA is like a micro antenna that actually changes structure based on the frequencies of biomolecules in solution. And it switches the genes in and on and off to actually regulate the building of the structure and its maintenance and function.
Yeah, and gold itself is a resonant structure that's very much like human DNA in its composition mechanically, and it's also an octahedron. That's why in our products we never make anything less than 18 karat, because the healing properties of gold after below 18 carats are distorted. The octahedral natural shape of the molecule goes away. And so we never make things below that frequency. And because gold, as an element, has such a high resonance, it's the highest resonance frequency of a mineral on this planet that absolutely makes DNA dance. And that's why, of course, people hoard it, they fight over it, they kill over it, because there's an ecstasy there. I guess it's probably related to sex in another way, And gold has always been the standard. One right behind it, of course, is platinum. Platinum is a much harder material and a much higher melting point. Platinum has a tendency in the body to amplify the psychic abilities. Gold amplifies the emotional abilities of the cells, the structures that build, like the endocrine glands. Whereas I found that platinum amplifies the psychic parts of the energy field, which is like taking gold and accelerating it up towards the speed of light, where it enters a doorway of infinite numbers of continuums, which then is a doorway of infinite number of choices and freedom that a human can have. So, I mean, that's kind of how I look at some of these things, if you want to understand more of how I think. I use titanium as another material. Titanium has a healing quality, but it's also a host material, and it likes to have gold or copper or other metals, you know, plated or amalgamated with it to make it do what it does. And so these are the kinds of things. And when I say that gold has a healing power, what I'm really saying is that we have the healing power, but it contains a alchemical element of energy that enhances the healing process of the body. So
right.
I guess I have to be careful when I say it has healing power. It doesn't have any healing power, but it's like a solid enzyme, an enzyme in a material form that's solid that actually resonates into the human psyche to make the body better.
Right. That would be similar to some of the other humic fulvic type minerals like iridium and indium. For example, one of the nutraceuticals we have on our site, NutraMedical.com, is indium, which brings back the normal hormonal control of the hypothalamus and the brain. In fact, most people don't realize that when you have heavy metals and toxins in the environment, the first thing that goes is not the actual end organ failure of the, say, the adrenals and the ovaries or testicles and the other organs like the thyroid that generate the hormones. It's the hypothalamus and the actual control hormones in the brain, the releasing hormones, and the neurological control actually go because of the mineral imbalances and deficiencies.
Right, and the way we look at that at Pyridyne is that we say that when that release takes place, it releases quanta of energies that are pretty much journeyed out on the freeway system of the human aura, and therefore will cause outside interferences that would be detrimental to the body, meaning it would cause a free radical change. What it does is it enhances the aura field. It makes everything it makes a disharmonious bit of radiation signal, a beta ray coming in, for example, or a gamma ray, become harmonious to the body. So the body still gets bombarded with that radioactive ionizing source, but at the same time, it absorbs it into energy that is usable. So you're actually fueling up a generator. It's like a shield. Your shield, and the shield now will absorb this negative energy. And I know that's what you use for some of your anti-radiation stuff, right?
Now I would think that you should be able to make a specific custom-made dosage based on the person's, let's say, bodily fluids or whatever.
Yeah.
And then create a harmonic field that could actually neutralize any kind of weapons against that person. Has this ever been done too?
No, that's where you and I can work together in the future. What I am able to do is diagnose to what concentration that type of substance would need to be, because somebody like myself who's worked radiation all my life, I've been in the University of Michigan, become contaminated, had no side effects from it long before I made my stuff, and got other people sick because of the radiation I was carrying. And I think you're like that too. We have a high tendency to already deflect that, but there's many people that don't, primarily women, because they're more yin energies, have a lower deflection field. So.
Yeah, I can't even wear electronic watches or anything. I blow them all to pieces. I put them on, and within hours or days, they just go. You even see arcing right across the backs of the watches, so they all die.
Yeah, so what we have to do is come up with a formula and a testing method to where we determine what concentration to put into people, because if you put too much of something in, they're going to short circuit, and they get really speedy, and their norepinephrine and epinephrine levels go through the roof, and testosterone levels go through the roof, which is not good, obviously.
Right.
It raises their blood pressure, in other words.
Right.
But there's got to be a test, and that's that X1 healing technology device that I'm trying to get built one of these days, a prototype of it, will be able to determine that in people, exactly what dosage of what mineral in a composition, meaning a formula, that would be necessary for this spectrum. I'd say there's probably 10 different levels of formulation and concentrations that we probably would use. you know, and we would have somebody maybe look at a color on the label or something and get a feeling from it, and that would determine they need bottle number one, bottle number
right.
two.
Right. Well, you know,
three.
I think the perfect fluid
that
for that would be saliva.
That makes sense to you?
Yeah, exactly. What would be the perfect fluid would be a saliva, and then you do a spectral analysis on that.
Yeah,
and then come
like
up with
a strip. You have a little strip that comes with it. You know, you get the free strips, and then go back and pick out your number. And that's the way. And that's the way. You know, I've formulated for about 50 different companies over my lifetime, including Shackley. And I used to work with Dr. Shackley a long time ago. And if you look at the Shackley was one of the first companies to have a really good nutritional product. But it was in today's market, it would be useless because there's too much shit out there in your system. But in those days, it was fine. So you have to formulate to the time. Like, I don't
know. Right now, we have a toxic soup.
People. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a toxic soup of things like depleted uranium. There's so much heavy metals and volatile chemicals everywhere that, you know, people that don't detoxify, people that don't, you know, I was just talking to Lauren Murray last week on the program. She'll be on again shortly, talking about the next week, actually talking about depleted uranium.
Yeah.
And wherever the depleted uranium testing is going on, there's 10 proving grounds in America, and there was also the Vieques Island testing in Puerto Rico. And there's so much diabetes in the areas where these heavy metals are released because of the DU munitions. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Cancer rates and so on.
And I know. I know. Arecito, Puerto Rico is a big testing facility, and it's also a location of HARP. So there's got to be in that area of Puerto Rico a huge amount of radiation.
Yeah, but it also interferes with the normal development of fetuses. And in fact, it turned out that I was a doctor for right by an international airport for directed energy weapons back in the 88 to 94.
Yeah.
And we had more babies born in my practice with the most strange and weird birth defects and genetic disorders. In fact, we had at least a half a dozen children born that had birth defects that were incidences of one in a billion.
Yeah, yeah.
And those happen because, of course, these directed energy weapons affect the unborn much more seriously than they affect adults or people that are, you know, like adolescents that are pretty well developed.
Yeah, now this is down in Puerto Rico.
No, this was actually in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Up by
you. When I came back for a period of time before I went back to the States.
Yeah.
And it was actually an offshore CIA project. It was a jet aircraft parts plant, but it was actually a front for harmonic directed energy weapons.
Okay.
And what they were doing is that this facility, they had these robotic things for titanium vanes for these jet aircraft, but they also had in the back all of these machines where they're developing directed energy parabolic sideband microwave frequency weapons. And they're playing around, and of course they bounced around inside these plants because they had some shielding that would blow all the circuits in the walls because it would overload the power circuits. And also some of the people got violently ill. So they come to me and wondering, you know, what do you do? You know, they would try not to tell me what they were doing. Eventually, I got probing and enough questions. I said, look, you know, I got to come clean or I can't help you at all.
Yeah. No, so I understand.
Yeah.
Where was that plant? Was that plant up in Nova Scotia?
That was actually right by the Halifax International Airport. So a lot of people think these projects don't go on outside America. They're absolutely wrong.
Oh, no, they're all over.
They're all over. The National Research Council in Halifax, Nova Scotia, is one of the largest facilities in Canada and in the world for actually doing a lot of very weird experiments.
Yeah.
And a lot of projects are going on in Europe, South America, all over the place, some in underground facilities. In places like Canada, they have them right out in the open in these big buildings. A lot of them don't even have proper shielding against biological weapons developments or harmonic scalar weapons or all kinds of stuff.
Well, you know, up there on the Canadian side of the Great Lakes back at, in the early 50s is where they had the first UFO experiments because there's a very high, what they call block wall field coming off those lakes. It's a low a source of gravity there. It's its lowest ebb. And so there were tons and tons and tons of experiments that went up in on the Canadian side with the U.S. government.
Well, Cold Lake, Alberta has got a 250.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, Cold Lake, Alberta is another $250 billion facility underground.
Yeah.
Near Cold Lake where they have this huge city under there that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's teeming with not only American but all kinds of international scientists doing all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure that a lot of those tunnels that we've talked about are under the border.
Absolutely. They're all over. That's why, you see, the people that are running the world are globalists. They're universalists. They think that they are going to knock down the nation state, which is why having a strong nation like America is anathema to them. They can't have a constitutional republic where people have national pride for their country.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true.
And that's why
the present administration is trying to do everything it can to destroy the pride image in the world market, you know.
Well,
the world
of course.
Court. I mean, how far can Bush go? I mean, I talk to these Europeans, and they actually believe that we support what he does.
Yeah, I know. Well, we don't.
I know.
We don't. Unfortunately, I suspect that now as he gets more and more dangerous,
I think
they're going
to
do something
to
really bad.
That we don't support him.
Pardon me?
I think the world is starting to find out now that we don't support him.
Oh, yeah. And the fact is that it's now becoming common knowledge since Charlie Sheen went forward about 9/11 and asked some really good questions about Building 7, et cetera. But people need to start becoming more familiar with the fact. Years ago when I talked about the national ID and microchips and things that, you know, in the, quote, conservative community they call the mark of the beast, it doesn't matter to me what religious group you come from.
Yeah.
Putting a chip in people or on people or directing energy weapons or psychotronic warfare to tap into the neural circuits of someone to affect their brain, I think is a criminal activity. Whether it's done by the government or criminals or by anybody else, I think should be completely against, you know, global law. It should be considered a form of electronic assault.
Yeah, no, I agree, but we don't have constitutional freedom, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're pretty much in, well, because when they did the 9/11 thing, pretty much martial law is in effect, and that's pretty much there. I mean, the martial law is if you are in any city now after say 11 o'clock, you're pretty damn close to getting pulled over for anything. I mean, just to see what the hell is going on. It's profiling of anyone now.
Right.
And it's very rampant out here in Orange County. It's a joke, you know. People don't even bother going out anymore because they know they'll get pulled over for doing nothing and hassled. You know?
Oh, really?
And it's everybody. I don't care if you're driving a Ferrari or a Volkswagen. It doesn't matter, you know.
It's the reign of terror, of course. What it is you have to, they're the authorities and you can't do anything. You can just drive down the road at a normal velocity with the normal control of your vehicle.
Yeah, and I'll put the icing on the cake. They're in Texas, they're going in bars and arresting people for being drunk in public right off the bar stool. You heard about that, right?
I heard about that on Alex Jones' show. Yeah, they walk into the bars like, what else do they think people do in bars?
Yeah, and I watched an interview with a district attorney that's in charge of that part of Texas in Houston where they're doing it, in Dallas, mostly Dallas, and she's got a flippant attitude. Let me tell you, she's a young girl, about 35. You know, we're doing the public a good. These people could get in their cars and create an accident. But, you know, the word could, and therefore we're eliminating the potential, you know. I love how they throw these could and potential words around the government, you know.
I know, well, that it's called pre-crime. It's Minority Report.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's why, and again, so if someone comes up with these, that has a story like this about, you know, electronic harassment, then you have solutions for it at your website. What's that website again, Dr. Fred?
Yeah, just have them go to drfredbell.com, and it takes them to Paradigm.
Dr. Right.
Drfredbell.com.
No, drfredbell.com.
Yeah.
And of course, what are we going to talk about at the conference coming up in May, which is your conference in Laguna Beach?
Well, we want to talk about, obviously, we want to do the political side. Probably you're going to bring a presentation on a computer, right? What do you call
I'm going to bring a PowerPoint presentation.
PowerPoint,
I want to talk about.
So what your life has been about, it would be kind of fun to show them how I was kind of in this business before you were and how you kind of came along about 10 years after I got out of it and continued on in a lot of the areas and went further into what I had seen the genesis of. You see them in their fruition now. That kind of stuff, and then I want to talk definitely about the anti-radiation stuff. I want to cover a lot of your radiation formulas, and you know your kit, and then we'll amalgamate that with what I do.
The thing people need to know is they need to detoxify, they need to alkalinize, they need to block electromagnetic radiation, even the Van Allen belt that protects the Earth itself from solar and other activity in the cosmos, is now being destroyed by things like above-ground nuclear testing and depleted uranium.
Yeah.
And people don't realize this, but it's actually known by pilots and other people now that are experts in radiation that flying at high altitudes, especially at night, puts you exposed to a lot more radiation, solar, you know, galactic radiation because of the change in the protective ion belt.
Yeah, I think they're changing their flight suits as we speak.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. I mean, it's now, even the the jet jockeys can't go have fun at night anymore without a problem. It's even they're getting screwed up, and they know it too.
You know, we did a study actually some years ago with Air Canada, and I was actually one of the doctors involved, and we had hundreds of airline pilots and stewardesses, and what we found is that we gave them little dosimetry cards, the same as radiologists are working in. What we found is the amount of radiation that they got on an average work schedule was somewhere around 20 to 30 times higher than a urologist that was doing cystourethrograms just standing behind a wall with the radiation blasting all over the room. They got 20 to 30 times minimum more than a radiologist.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
They have no idea. They literally don't realize that they're up there. They're literally standing there constantly getting x-rayed all over their body.
Well, one of the, and the stewardesses, some of these old-timers, they get pretty sick. My ex-wife was a stewardess now. She still is, and it's really affected her psyche. She flies, you know, those international flights. They fly at 40, 50,000 feet all the time.
Well, apparently it's a lot worse now because of the change in this protection.
Yeah,
and
that's why I got you on the phone. I've been looking for a good dosimeter card to sell for people to buy. Have you run across any good sources? I think that's a product that I need to have.
Well, one of the ones that I've heard that actually is good for radiation detection for, and you're talking about nuclear, like a dirty bomb or something like that?
You know, general, wear it during the day, and at the end of the day, let's see what you got at the end of the week kind of thing. You know?
I know that they have some, radiation detectors and so on. You can check out what's called KI4U.
Yeah, I know. Does he have any of that? Yeah, I think he has some of those old-fashioned ones.
Yeah, the old-fashioned ones. I don't know if they have got the real dinky little cards that you get if you're working on a government facility and you can have a little radiation card and it'll change color or it'll do other things to tell you.
Yeah, he doesn't have those, does he, Sean? Does he have those?
I don't know if he does. He might. I didn't see them on his site. The other thing that that they do have is the Nuke Alert is a very nice little handy keychain type
device.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
And we have that on the website, so they call it Nuke Alert. And people should realize, I suggested to Sean, the head of the company, that what they do is they have everyone that has one of those register their GPS code, their postal code, and if there's a radiation alert, if their device goes off, immediately go to their computer, log into a database, and put in their postal code, zip code, of where they're at, so that they can pump in the numbers.
What did he say about that?
Pardon me?
What did he say when you presented that?
That was a great idea. Happens is everybody as a citizen can then plug it in, and you can actually build a real-time database of what the numbers are showing, and you can tell if there's a radiation cloud moving. It might be from a nuclear plant that's just venting and they're not telling anybody. When I was a doctor in Augusta, Georgia, back in 87, 88, I worked in the emergency and did family internal medicine, and we had all kinds of releases from the Aiken reactor. And you'd never know except the plant workers would show up all, and I said, what the heck's going on here? We got all the plant workers down from the plant. Sitting in the emergency department with their pupils like pinpoints. And so
you could see them
there in a cold sweat wondering if they were radioactive.
Yeah.
And they were saying, Doc, you got to check me out. And I'm thinking, well, what happened? Well, it vented, but don't tell anybody. And, of course, your boss would tell you, you know, if you tell the news media, if you talk to news media, you'll be fired on the spot.
Oh, God, yeah, I know.
So they don't want people to know that if they go to their car is radioactive now.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah, it's very true. And
that's why in Japan, Loren Murray just got back from Japan, and it's affecting their IQ and their health. They have 55 major nuclear plants in Japan, the size of California, which is, I think, 4 or 5. And these reactors are venting all the time, and people say, oh, no, they're not dangerous, they're clean energy. And I'm thinking, they're crazy. This isn't the technology has not been perfected to the point where they're not venting off radioisotopes.
And not only that, but I've been inside of a lot of these nuclear plants, you know, because I had them as customers. And and I'm not putting people down if they work at nuclear plants, but the consciousness of the management positions in a lot of those plants that I was in, maybe they're not all that way, was pretty damn scary, okay? I wouldn't really have these people running these plants that seem to be running them.
Do you mean that Homer Simpson's day job is actually one of these plants?
Huh?
Remember the Homer Simpson where he's supposed to be running a nuclear plant? I have a feeling that that's actually what happens to your genetics after you're in one of these places for a while.
That's kind of what I've seen. And
you
I've
become
been
Homerized.
In a lot of these plants, many, many, and, including the San Onofre one here in right down the road from Laguna Beach.
Now, do you think that maybe some of this is actually reactive to the fact that that there are scalar harmonics that come off of these minerals that disrupt your cellular function in your DNA?
That's a good question. Anytime that you're working with a fissionable material, you're playing around with slow neutrons. And
right.
I know for a fact that slow neutrons have gravity effects. There's an element called 115 that when bombarded by slow neutrons produces no gravity at all.
Is that the Harrison effect you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's the guy up in Vancouver that was doing all this research with tinkering to create certain frequencies and make these metals float in the air and do all kinds of other things, yeah.
Right, and so what happens is the attribute of releasing leptons in a nuclear reaction, at one point you get to the lepton level, that is a scalar wave. I think that's the threshold of a scalar wave in an atomic reaction is the lepton level in to the smaller particles, to the smaller dimensions. It opens up a doorway, and I think it destroys people. I mean, I really do.
In other words, what you're saying is the scalar harmonics are actually subatomic particles.
Right.
And these subatomic scalar waves actually affect the actual structure and function of their matter.
Right, so because they are the mental imprint of what the future will be for them. Did you follow me?
Right.
Yeah, there has to be an etheric force directing an energy to cause a physical reaction, whether it be creating a DNA, a cell, or a human being, or an event. It's all the same damn thing at one point.
So it's almost like a subatomic event horizon is what you're talking about.
Right, exactly.
Maybe people can't follow what we're saying, but what we're meaning is that as you disrupt these scalar waves, you actually disrupt the way the matter projects itself into the future.
Exactly. You got it. I like how you can. That's why I'm going to have you work on my book. You can get my thoughts down to where people, even I, can understand them. I like that. That's really good. You can make me understand my own ideas, you know. That's really. I like how you present that. That's very true. That's exactly dead on. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the important thing about this is that you can also create harmonic. What I did is I created a machine called a Dynatense back in 1983 after 3 years of research, and we actually built 12 of them, and we were able to generate what's called a morphogenic field to make tissues regenerate. And so I had one gentleman, for example, he was a hockey player. I was one of the team doctors for the Calgary Flames, and he had his hand cut off with a skate. So it took 14 hours, and they put it back on. They told him he might hold a hockey stick, but he'd never play hockey again.
Yeah.
And he might get 10%. Well, with my machine, he got 90% regeneration of the nerve in 6 weeks.
Wow, that's pretty good. I like to see that.
Yeah, now the reason why I didn't go further is that it turned out when I finished that, I got really busy. And in order for me to patent it and develop it, I would have needed a lot more money. So I said, okay, I'll just set this aside. And I used it on my patients to try to help them heal.
Yeah.
But I never, back then, of course, there weren't all the medical, legal, and the other things going on. So, and as I say, if nobody knows what you're actually doing, then they can't put any scrutiny because they probably, in their mind, this technology doesn't exist.
Exactly. Now, what did you do with that machine? You still have it now?
Oh, yeah. I still have one. But we built 12 of them. And actually, what I did, though, is it turned out I was one of the doctors for the Directed Energy Weapon Systems.
Yeah,
and what I saw them doing is they were simply doing what's called sideband microwave scalar tuning to the DNA, and they effectively broke the non-covalent bonds of the DNA, so the DNA would basically unwind, and the strands would cause the cells to release their peroxisomes and lysosomes, so the cells would start adjusting themselves.
Yeah.
They did it to actually make cells go through apoptosis by scalar weapons.
Right. I'm
which
familiar.
Is basically programmed cell death. So what would happen is literally like a B-movie. Your cell, you start to get nauseated, go blind, start barfing and bleeding from every orifice, and literally turn to slime.
Yeah.
And they actually used these on the Iraqis in the first Gulf War. They had them on the Apache helicopters and the M1 Abrams. And they have these kind of weapons. They can punch them right through the side of a building. In fact, they were able to focus these, depending on the line of sight and the weather, they could focus them and have biological effects that would kill up to 5 to 8 miles away.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they use that technology and they're experimenting with it, they usually drop in a pretty big shell later on to cover up the evidence. Everything looks like they get burned up. That's why I love that cover up that they use.
Oh yeah, and of
they
course,
had before they were burned up.
Well, the problem is also a lot of these systems were very leaky, so our poor troops were getting fried to pieces, just like the guys that sit on ammo boxes full of depleted uranium. And the ammo boxes, literally in these tanks that we have.
Yeah.
Are literally, and I talked to the guys because I took care of the tank division down at Fort Carson in 94-95 that were cleaning up these devices that were all full of DU poisoning and yellow cake and everything. And they were so hot, they would actually only be allowed to sit on the box for so many minutes because it got too hot.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're literally sitting on this literally fissionable material cooking away underneath them.
Oh, yeah, I know. Those things have a half-life of many years.
Yeah, you know, like 4.5 billion years.
So that device that you developed, is it portable? Is it small?
Yes. And I also, what I did is I went back, and I went back because I had a black box. I went back and I worked out the quantum mechanics of how it works on biophotons.
Yeah.
And I developed the theory that I wrote up, and I presented to the head of biophysics and a panel of doctors and scientists called Phonon Maser Operon Genetics.
Okay.
That explains how basically how
that,
all biological...
Is that a maser, like a true microwave amplification system?
Yeah, what happens is mased or coherent sound.
Yeah.
It's sound and it's infrared at the same time, so it has light and sound properties. So all living things basically have these, basic, if you want to call it, sound and infrared light frequencies of the sideband groups on all molecules. And the primary thing is, on the backbone of, say, the protein molecules, are the phenolic side groups that set up the frequency harmonics and the length of the backbone of the carbon and the ring structures of the side groups.
Right.
And they set up specific frequencies that you can actually...
But you make a tunable filter.
Yeah, according to my theory, you could actually take these... you could actually go back and determine the molecular structure of the molecule that causes disease, and you could make a microscope I call a photon maser microscope that would be a step beyond the Rife.
Yeah.
So you could actually... It would be a scanning electron microscope that would tell you which section of the DNA was ringing when there was a certain disease going on or a certain cell process being activated, like mitosis or meiosis.
Right.
So you could actually program it so you could take a pluripotent cell like a stem cell, pump in the right phase of phonon maser morphogenic field, and you could turn it into a heart or a thumb or whatever.
Did you have to use super cooled devices to make this work, or could you run it at room temperature?
All room temperature, yeah.
That's really good, yeah, because when we worked with maser amplifiers, we had to run it at, you know, sub-zero temperatures.
Yeah, what we did is we used a collapsing electrical to magnetic field to create a harmonic ring.
Yeah. So that's cool. Bring that technology down and we'll fool around with it. I got a bit of a laboratory here. We can make any kind of measurement you want. Except
what I wanted to do was actually create a device where we would actually, and I talked to the director of Accutron, about the idea of using picovolt spectral analyzers along these, quote, acupuncture lines or key lines, because my theory predicted that all of the energy pathways in the body are speed of light superconductor circuits.
They are, yeah, that's true.
But they're not only that superconductor on this dimensional level, but people don't realize that our body is a bioelectric body, not just in the fourth dimension, it's in the fifth dimension, so that we actually have above speed of light transmission of energy and information between the various parts of our body that actually transcend the speed of light.
Yeah. You know, in the spectrum analyzer area, we've had that conversation a while back on the phone, and about you gave me the model number of that one that was made by...
Keithley Enterprise
for a long time, and I was going to look into that. But also, I'd like to get a hold of some squid circuitry. I don't know if you've got any access to that.
Well, all the squid circuits were basically is micromagnetometers that would actually have a whole array of them.
Yeah.
And they would pump this array in and use analog to digital
converters, A to D converters.
Yeah, and what they do is they convert it, but what they would do is they just basically use. Linear multidimensional array mathematics to actually convert it to a matrix, and they then convert the matrix to a data field and then tie the data field to a specific stimulus.
Right, and
so they use fuzzy logic to create.
That I designed in that earthquake detector was like an equivalent of a high sensitivity Wheatstone bridge balanced against a squid, balanced against the X input, you know, whatever
right. It was like a magnetic version of an electroencephalogram, an EEG.
Yeah.
So you might have, let's say, 50 or 100 sensors, and then they would convert those very tiny magnetic fields into an array of numbers, and then knowing what the person thought, or they put an image, let's say, on a screen, they would say, okay, this set of frequency numbers in this matrix means a certain thing.
Yeah, I understand square. All that, and if you could get some, we get our hands on a couple of squid circuits, I can do the rest of it. Believe me, this is a no-brainer for me. This is easy stuff.
Well, what I would like to see is I'd like to see a positive,
I love to do these kind of instruments.
I'd like something like positive intentional thought to be broadcast so that people would be...
Yeah, no problem.
You know, or if you want to have a field that actually counteracts cancer, if you got a cancer ward, we'll have a field that actually generates an anti-cancer field, if you want to call it.
You can do it. That's not a problem. That's
see,
Rife
was trying to do this
technology
back
anyway.
Right. Rife was trying to do this back in the 20s, but I worked out the actual differential equations for the energy transfer on the power curve of biomolecules.
Yeah.
And it predicts that you're dealing with pico-Tesla forces and scalar energies that not only vibrate in the fourth dimension, but also in higher dimensions to that, which is why...
Oh, yeah.
Which is why you get...
The funny thing about that, when you start playing around with that, that's where you come into the probability of karma, of a disease potential, possibly from a family lineage from the past. Now, now causing a presence like a prearranged heart condition in another dimension, and you're going to have cholesterol problems.
It's what I call scalar entanglement that transcends our current time space because we have
exactly.
The impression.
That's where you're going with that.
You can see how I think pretty radical, hey?
No, but I think the same way. I mean, I can make things measure that.
Right.
I know how to do that stuff.
Well,
here's
my thing is that. You should be able to actually break through the scalar entanglement that actually causes. This goes beyond what I call the normal, what I call biogenetic DNA.
Yeah.
I call this the higher dimensional planes of quote, if you want to call it DNA, if that's a good term to use.
Yeah.
Like the DNA of our spirit body. In other words, we have a physical body, but we have a spirit body that's a non-local being that our current constraints of time space don't explain.
Yeah. Well, that's called five seed atoms. By the White Brotherhood, you have five seed atoms that you were doled out at creation, and as long as creation exists, those same five seed atoms are going to, through every lifetime you're going to go through, they're going to be there, and you can find those. The Pleiadian technology deals with that stuff, which
right.
We haven't really discussed yet, but now we're getting into my area more.
Right. And
welcome to my side of the fence.
Well, the thing is, I'm sure that there's a reason for the convergence of a lot of these technologies and why we managed to get connected. And there's other people like Dr. Don Medicine Wolf and many others that I consider what I call people that are enlightened, because at this point in time in history, we're basically what I call the nexus. This is whether we're going to become, I call it Homo sapiens cosmic universalis, or we're going to become an extinct species.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be reduced back to five seed atoms.
Right, and you know, people don't understand that we're not just dealing with crazies in the White House. We're dealing with above government agencies. We're dealing with advanced spirit beings, what I call them, the transdimensional beings that can manifest in the physical realm, as well as they're often, you know, aware and vibrating in these higher dimensional planes at all times. And one of the reasons why there's people like you and me around is we are conscious at these higher planes because we actually vibrate at the higher planes, and we actually have a conscious understanding of our presence as a non-local being.
Yeah, I agree.
And
that's right.
And that's, of course, what happens with the high-level people that are, you know, Buddhist monks or people that have gone to these Shaolin temples or these other facilities where they, you know, down through history that they become adepts.
Yeah, I understand. And here's another thing I'll throw at you. You've heard in mythology the terminology of caduceus. Well, what I've done a lot of playing around with over the years is if you take, like, say, a small, like a toilet paper roll,
right?
You take a wire and you open the wire up and you bring the middle of the wire to one edge of the toilet paper roll and you wrap it around, you get 180 degrees and you cross the wires, you go around the other side and you cross the wires, it forms a caduceus coil. So when you get done winding that, you've got a series of little X's on both sides of that coil.
Right.
Terminating with two wires. When you put a current, an electrical current, into that coil, it will neutralize magnetism and create this huge zone of nothing. And it's a real interesting area. You should play around with the mathematics on that. And then you go into supercooling with this, and you've got a bit of a machine that kind of can generate some interdimensional fields. It's very simple.
Well,
it's very effective,
it
but you need, of course, the cooling to make it really work right.
Right. So what you're doing, basically, is you're creating an anti-magnetic field.
Right, a very powerful one. You can feed in as much energy as you want, and nothing comes out. therefore, it makes it a very nice zone to play in.
Basically is creating a transdimensional door. Of course, the way I view magnetism is I call magnetism linear space mass conversion.
Yeah.
And gravity is nonlinear space mass conversion.
Right, I can agree with that because there's no polarity. And you know what's interesting about the magnetism of the human body? It's called the Seebeck effect, meaning it has no north and south pole, but there's a magnetic field there. And that always confuses people, you know. But Seebeck, mechanics is a very interesting part of physics, you know.
Yeah, well, of course, the human body and all living things, whether they're a notochord in, you know, in the ancient world, or any animal, has a relatively north to south pole effect from their head to their
foot. Exactly.
To their foot. And they also have a relative north from the outside of their skin to the inside of their body. Plus, every organ is relatively north pole on the outside and in south pole inside. So all of them are set up as dipoles that have specific orientation. And my theory on the phonon maser cytogenetics basically explains that the way that the body is made is that this hierarchical codes that are frequency harmonics.
Right.
That have hierarchical control, and every living thing is basically formed by forming sheets, tubes, and pinched tubes. And those types of codes, which are simple, if you want to call it harmonic frequencies that regulate specific enzymes, actually are code for how to build and how to maintain and how to function as an organism. So all living things, whether it's a tree or something else, that's why electromagnetic pollution is so dangerous, which people completely ignore. They think about heavy metals and they think about toxins, but they have no idea that, you know, and there's other, you know, technologies out there. There's called the BioPro. What are your comments about things like the BioPro and other technologies like that?
Well, it depends on what it's made out of and what it's probing, you know.
Well, somehow they say that they're able to neutralize a harmonic field, so they plug them literally into the circuits. If you have four or five of them around a house, or you set up these, these fields.
Here's the deal with an electromagnetic field. And that's what they use probably.
Right. In other words, they're trying to generate another electromagnetic field. They're not using scalar geometries, which is what you're doing.
Right now,
they're using non-scalar geometric techniques. Right.
Right. What happens with if you have a north and a south pole? You know, electromagnet, right?
Right.
In the middle of it, you have a neutral point. I mean, it's north and one end south and the other. In the middle of it, you have a neutral point, okay?
Right.
That neutral point is called a block, B-L-O-C-H, wall. And it relates, it's a magnetic resting point. And perpendicular to that is what's called a D field, okay? And it's the science of the D fields and the block wall that guy down in Florida built his, he was able to overcome gravity with that, and he built that that castle down there. You know what I'm talking about? The big.
The Coral Castle, yeah.
Yeah, Coral Castle, right, Levenstein, or whatever, however you say his name. Right. And in that technology, these kind of devices will work. But what I have seen on the market so far is not that technology. It's advertised to be that technology, but I also talked to some of the engineers designing it, and if I start talking block walls and G fields, they don't understand what I'm talking about. So therefore, it leads me to believe that all they have is an electromagnetic coil with no understanding of utilizing some other circuitry in the center of that coil, which they don't do. And that's another device I've thought about. You know, there's this company called Q-Link that makes some really cute junk. And the guy started out with trying to do something like my receptor, but electromagnetically, right in Dana Point down the road. They've done a tremendous job in marketing. They market to golf pros and all of that all over the world.
Right.
Bottom line is they come out with some little things you plug in the wall, and they're little boxes for $200. They sell a lot of them. I'd like to start creating, I've thought about it many times, a real $200 box that really does something in promoting that, because there's, as far as I have seen so far, my testing, nothing out there works.
Right, and here's the important thing.
Yeah.
I discovered this when I was actually working in Colorado with these satellite companies, because I'm very interested in advanced electronic multiplexing and signal and our AI. So I'd ask the satellite technologists, and they just love it when their doctor will ask them technical questions, because they can't share it even with their colleagues.
Yeah.
If they're not got a security clearance, or their wife even. So they start talking to me, and they tell me how that these frequencies, and I said, well, what frequencies are they operating in? Of course, I did mathematical calculations that most of the biomolecules, based on the size of the molecule and the length of DNA and so on, that the frequencies now that these satellites in geocentric orbit, called the Teledesic and the Global Star satellites,
right,
they're now transmitting in frequencies to Earth information in the same frequency range as all living things.
Right, and that's 350 to 450 megahertz, and it's a 39 centimeter antenna, which is exactly the size of these antennas that are sitting on these craft. Okay, in case
right.
you didn't know that. I don't know if you know the size of it. And what happens, you know, I did a lot of work in this area, and some of it in my book, especially with electromagnetic and sound work. And, you know, when the DNA receives a certain frequency, it tells it that's a liver cell, that's a spleen cell, that's a skin cell, oh, that's a cancer cell. Let's mix it right in there. You
right.
know what I mean? And that's what they do. And that's and it's so easy to do. I can in a couple hours with miscellaneous parts in my workshop build you a nice generator to make people sick. It's easier to make people sick than it is to make them well.
Yeah, well, what we want to do
that
is actually combine things like the stem enhance, like the stem cell releaser.
Yeah.
It's a blue-green algae, and then this harmonic field thing to actually improve people. Then use things like the humic fulvic zeolite to pull out the toxins, and monoatomic palladium and gold and so on to actually increase the scalar energy transfer between the biomolecules in their system and their DNA. And as we start adding these layers of technology, we're going to see human lifespan go up dramatically. But
yeah,
let me tell you,
something just came to mind. You just woke up a circuit in me. Cell phones, my favorite.
Oh,
my
God.
Did you notice that they've upped the frequency of cell phones? They're going up from the 800, 900 gigahertz. They're going up to about 1 GC now.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 GC is perfect because that's 3 times the wavelength of human DNA. So now what does that mean, running 1 gigahertz? Now, via all the cell phones, they can now direct more negative destructive energy into your DNA. And that's exactly why they raised the frequency, because down at 800 and 900 megahertz, and I've got a government receiver right here that monitors cell phones that I bought surplus from a military place, they can now, at the lower frequencies that it used to be, they can control DNA, so because it's not harmonically, you know, homogenizing properly. You got to have the harmonic perfect. So you get up around 1.01.
Yeah, you have to be a harmonic of the actual DNA, yeah, in order to
right. And so by raising the cell phone frequencies, they're working in quarter wavelengths. That's the size of the antenna inside of a cell phone. The higher you get frequency, the shorter the wavelength. So now they're down. Now you're walking around with your cell phone, not even turned on, just running, you know, not talking.
Right.
And you can get stuff. Most people carry it in their shirt pocket or their, you know, so they get it right into the thymus. The immune system is getting bombarded. So all they got to do is modulate these frequencies a little bit, which is the carrier from one station to the other to keep your phone tuned in. You don't even talk on the phone. You're just going from one monitoring station to another, getting this negative energy in your pocket. I just forgot to tell you, that's the latest thing they're throwing at people now.
Well, the other thing, the latest thing I heard was very similar to this. A little piece more was that that these new cell phones have a lot of memory. They're more like a microcomputer.
Yeah.
And they can upload to it an actual program to give specific frequencies that it can pump out even if the phone's not turned on.
That's my point.
Hello,
thank you. That was my point.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to kind of explain that. So they literally, and this is the thing that makes me particularly upset about the idea of the identity theft, of the government wanting your DNA
yeah.
and your other things, because people need to realize, and I discovered this from talking to the high-level technicians and scientists that I talked about and shared some of my knowledge on scalar harmonics,
yeah.
was that you literally, if you, and this is what probably happened in the ancient civilizations in Atlantis, where they had both a nuclear and a scalar war.
Right.
The ultimate weapon is not a nuclear weapon. The ultimate weapon is a scalar harmonic weapon that disrupts life forms.
It's an antimatter device.
Right. Yeah. And what they did basically is they had these scalar weapons because they're actually attacking people that had certain kinds of DNA.
Right.
It goes beyond like a virus that's race specific. We're talking about a harmonic frequency.
Oh, that's very evident in different nationalities. For example, the African American being susceptible to the sickle cell anemia, which the average person wouldn't get, but they get it quite readily. That just shows you that if you tie into that energy, that you can create that disease in those people. Boom, 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 and that's a no-brainer.
Right. In other words,
yeah.
And what I'd heard actually from my contacts is that there were weapons developed back as long ago as the 70s
yeah.
that had scalar harmonic weapons that could kill viruses, and they call them scalar bombs.
Right.
And they would go off, and you wouldn't see it. You might see it or think there's an explosion, but what happens, there's no boom.
I've seen that. That was first sighted in over Russia.
Right. And what they're able to do is they could kill, and the first one that actually was sent off was a bomb that was set up for their bioweapons facility up in Russia, where they have an entire city of about 200,000 people who are working on these bioweapons.
Right.
And one of the most deadly weapons in history got out, and they had to set off the bomb to kill this virus. And what it did is it actually was set up that would kill the particular harmonics of that DNA of that virus.
Right.
Now, similarly, people need to realize that this is why I'm very much against this national ID, world ID thing, because if they have your DNA and if they can upload information and if they have your GPS coordinates, they can beam specific signals to you. They can upload just straight to your cell phone a specific program to set up certain frequencies to cause, to implant ideas, fear, anxiety. How many people in America or around the world now have a constant state of fear because we're literally what I call a fear cage? We have a 60-cycle hertz cage of electromagnetic frequencies around us all the time that are driving our adrenal glands, generating free radicals. If you put a cell phone by your head, it upregulates an enzyme called ornithine transcarbamylase and makes nitric oxide peroxynitrile radical, literally fries your neurons.
Right.
And so when people are saying, well, it's not just the thermal effect. No, it's the enzyme induction. These frequencies
actually...
Well, that's
on a way to becoming a free radical.
Yeah, it actually induces specific phonon maser operons to actually make your body upregulate and change the actual genetic structure and the function of your brain.
Yeah, no, I totally, believe me, I know that. I mean, thank you for reinforcing.
I don't
like it because you actually give a name to the enzyme. I didn't know which enzyme.
Yeah,
it was.
Ornithine transcarbamylase and then inducible nitric oxide synthase 1. And these are extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
You can actually measure these if you're actually able to do what's called an fMRI and actually have a radio-labeled functional metabolite that you could actually measure there. So it's theoretically possible for you to measure these. The thing is that they know this, and they're polluting the population. And I really honestly believe the regular Hertzian and scalar pollution is far worse even than the heavy metal pollution, even in spite of...
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why the population is so dumbed down. They sit around computers all day long. They sit in front of television. They sit inside a big building that's literally an electromagnetic cage.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why their DNA is all disrupted. And people have to understand if your scalar harmonics are disrupted, your if you want to call it your spirit being, which is a higher vibrational state of your, your energy architecture of your body,
yeah,
which of course is seen with things like Kirlian photography, that expresses itself on the lower dimensional planes as your DNA.
Right.
It gets disrupted, so you can literally disrupt someone's, if you want to call it their aura, you can disrupt their actual spirit body, if you want to call it.
Yeah.
And you see, I don't see a difference between what they call spirit and the physical flesh. I think there's a connection there, but
yeah,
I see it as just, we don't have the, in conventional areas, we don't have the higher dimensional physics to explain things that I've thought about,
it's like a very simple explanation for people out there. It's like when you do a heart transplant. It's not uncommon in a heart transplant for the person receiving the transplant to have characteristics, behavioral patterns,
yeah,
of the person whose heart it came from in the first.
I remember I actually read this in medical journals where this guy got a liver from a teenage girl that died in an accident. And he started getting a tremendous craving for chocolate milkshakes, and he never had them before.
Yeah, I know, because the enzymes are present there.
Yeah, the enzymes are there telling him, drink a chocolate milkshake. We want one.
Yeah, I think that's so cute.
Yeah.
There was another one where this girl got a heart from a motorcycle victim, a young guy, and she never drank, and all of a sudden she had a craving for beer. And then she already started reading the same magazines he did, and so she ended up being adopted by the family. Normally, they in a donor situation, for people that don't understand that, you're not supposed to know who the donor was, but she found out and became like the replacement for the son in that family where the heart came from in the first place, which I thought was another kind of a nice story,
It shows that, and this is one of the things that I think that people, whether they're on one side or the other of this, quote, New World Order, they should wake up and realize
we're all one.
We're all one, and the thing that's particularly disturbing to me is that, Emmanuel Yeshua said this, 2,000 years ago, as I consider the greatest light that ever came to Earth in terms of understanding what we are. As I've always said on this show before, if we knew what we were, we wouldn't do what we do.
Yeah.
And the problem is, we're trying to develop a dialogue of advanced physics, advanced eschatology, advanced esoteric knowledge, so that the regular general public will start to realize that there are people that do understand in a very, very concrete way what we are, which can be translated into survival, protection, and thriving,
yeah,
rather than the end of civilization as we know it and a very nasty matrix, which various elements in our society want to do, including population reduction, releasing plagues, continuing wars. All of the what I call the evil or the dark side, you know, like Darth Vader and Darth Sidious, thinking that the only way to maintain an order, which is their order, is to create a state of chaos and then get more power from that chaos. And I believe the exact opposite is true, and we're coming to the end of this age of chaos.
Well, we should be doing the opposite of the chaos. Well, that's
right.
What we should be doing. That's what we're supposed to do.
Well, the thing is, in a sense, as I mentioned this on the other night when I was talking to Stanton Friedman on the show, we talked about the issue that if you posit, like Carl Sagan, that there are billions of stars and billions of civilizations, maybe let's say there's 100,000 civilizations, and two-thirds of them are rational and normal, and one-third are kind of off the rocker and kind of malevolent and dangerous, then ultimately, just from the very nature that those who are with it are probably going to survive longer, therefore have higher levels of science, and eventually will supersede, that the ones that are lower are going to be wiped out or contained or quarantined.
Yeah.
And there's probably a great deal of evidence that, in fact, some of the what I call cosmic criminal activity that occurred on Earth in the past ages that caused a lot of the changes in not only our genetics but also the devastation to our planet, because there's some very good evidence that there was a nuclear war around 12,900 or whatever it is years ago.
1495 BC.
Yeah, that this is a cabinet, and I know this is a chemical study that was done by my professor of chemistry back in the 70s. And this is, you can actually look it up and find out that, yes, there's evidence there was a nuclear war between areas of India and the area we call Yemen and Saudi Arabia back that time.
Yeah, and what is part of the hard evidence is not only the formation of krypton, but a couple other elements that are only formed by thermonuclear heat.
Right, and the kind of...
Find a lot of this. This is where it's a greenish-purple stone, you know.
Right, and the form of, exactly, the kinds of nuclei that are generated not from comets or missiles or anything else, but are formed only
in war. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And so we know this. We look at things like the temples of Baalbek. And so what we know is that, yes, you can have colossal intellects and you can have colossal technology, but if you don't grow spiritually, you become annihilated.
Exactly.
And I believe the ultimate weapon that was a downfall of this ancient society called Atlantis, that's referred to by the Greek authors, was scalar technology. And, in fact, what they called this satellite system they were putting up called the Teledesic, they call it the Death Star.
Yeah, yeah.
It, you know, lovingly after the same words of the Star Wars program of the star of Darth Vader. So I think people need to realize that we are polluted with DU. We've got GMO foods. We've got mercury. We've got aspartame and Splenda and sucralose and every other kind of nasty, horrible thing, because the people at the top are Luciferians. They're evil. They have an intention of evil against each other. But if you're looking in the galactic down on Earth, you'd say, oh, my God, if you're a creature that's, let's say, a billion years more advanced, you'd think containment, quarantine, just like the show that is going to be playing tonight called Lost, that has a capsule on it. And, of course, the capsule on the island says quarantine.
Is that going to be on the Sci-Fi channel or what?
It's on the regular TV channels, but I watch it on HD because I like it. It's one of the few shows I watch on television because it gets inside people's heads because it expands their consciousness. And I always like stretching people's consciousness because, believe it or not, it doesn't break.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't.
Think it does, but it's like a universally stretchable material that will never break.
Yeah. I've got a question. You got my book there, right? I know you probably skim in it, right, most of the time?
Yes, I do. I'm going through. I'm reading sections more and more as I get prepared to.
Do me a favor, if you don't mind. Anytime you have a book that you write and you want me to go in it, I'll gladly go in it. I need to get some more of your books anyway. I don't have any of them. Go, when you get a chance, go to page 382, 383, 384, and 385. And in that area, I map out exactly how a scalar wave operates and how to create a death ray out of it. I don't go into much explanation. I think we could talk privately about how that works. I don't want this out. Wouldn't even want that.
Right, I don't want this out. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't share what I discovered and actually showed in differential calculus equations about energy transfer. Because I realized that the people that I was dealing with, you see, I knew that whatever I was, that I had a higher intention of good toward other people, even when I was a child.
Right.
When they wanted me to go off to MIT to study nuclear physics and develop advanced weapons, I went into honors biochemistry and eventually medicine.
Yeah.
Because my spirit, if you want to, said, I feel like I vibrate at a more when I'm healing and helping to kind of stabilize the world and do good and bring
it
peace.
You move towards the life force versus the death force.
Right. And, you know, I could have easily gone toward the death force because I had numerous opportunities by, you know, I was approached by the Pindar. I know what's going on at the highest levels.
Oh, yeah. And when I was young at Autonetics, I got to a pathway. I could have gone on and I worked on the ILASC contract,
right,
which was Star Wars, or then I could transfer over to SIDS, Space and Information Division, and go work with Wernher von Braun and build spaceships.
Right. Well,
so I left the weapons. Well, I was in weapons too.
Oh, of course they were. Yeah. They'll take you
spaceships instead. I thought it was more constructive. You know, that's a
right. If they could, they harness your brilliance and they want to haul you off.
Yeah.
And have you do things and go. You're great. You're brilliant. Now, if you try to help people,
yeah, that's what
like
they
I've tried to. You get persecuted, and I've been persecuted plenty.
Yeah.
For being,
they
you
used
know,
to remind me. Because a lot of my education was paid for by the government. They used to remind me how many millions of dollars they spent on my education. I used to do that
right.
every day.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they kind of download your data and turn you into kind of a quivering blob of not.
I told them it was taxpayer money, and I paid for my own education. They didn't like that.
Yeah.
That's what I told them. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
And then the other thing, when you get into those pages, you'll see how I can take this scalar wave and actually present it on an oscilloscope. And that information is in there so that when you bring your device down here, I can show you how to take it to the next step, probably, or we can take it there.
Well, what we need to do is advance the machines, because here's what I think. Yeah. We need to actually be broadcasting this to change the level of consciousness. And I really think...
Yeah, let's build another one.
Yeah, right? I think that one of the things that happens, I call it the 100 monkey machine.
Yeah.
Is that what it does is you get people with positive intentions that have a global consciousness that's much higher. For example, I've sort of developed this, I call it, archetype of 7 levels of consciousness, and the ultimate level, if you want to call it, it's like Michio Kaku's theory about energy civilizations.
Yeah.
Right? Only this is the levels of consciousness, and the highest level is ever-present and the instantaneous knowledge of all levels of all dimensions, and therefore knowing literally the face of God instantaneously and at all times.
Yeah, that's, and I call that level. The will.
That's called the 7th level.
Yeah, we call it the will. The Pleiadians call it the will, and the color red.
Right. Now, the fact is that unless we reach those levels of consciousness, we're going to be extinguished.
Oh, yeah.
Because our technology is going vertical. And you see, we've actually developed AI machines, artificial intelligence supercomputers.
Yeah, I know.
That have the intelligence of a man, but are proceeding at 100 trillion, trillion times faster than a human being to acquire and integrate all known knowledge in all history.
Yeah.
And so when you have unleashed these kinds of...
Right? There's a bunch of them up there in Colorado.
Right. And when you unleash these kinds of technology... You're going what's called vertical, and you now have basically microbes, that's us, with the godlike technologies that could literally blast us across the star systems as being almost like you would call a galactic plague.
Right.
And you so know, we either get with it or we're going to have the, how can I say it, our neighbors come down on us.
Yeah, they're already. I think they're coming anyway. But
Right, well, they have to because, you see, the thing is if we get off the world as we are now, we're going to be extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
Because we combine the worst of the creatures that came here and spliced themselves with our DNA a long time ago, and along with the capacities and abilities that we had as beings here, which makes us far more dangerous than even the ones that originally came here as criminals.
I agree. This was a prison planet originally.
Right.
That was and of course Australia and England modeled that, you know.
Right. But now you see the creature that comes off this planet will be more dangerous than the one originally came.
I know, it's true. And it's a non-sacred planet. Getting back to consciousness, what I did in my work, it's the same as yours, but, you know, the hormone is the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. So you have to have a hormone secretion to experience any level of consciousness. Now, however, if your biochemistry and your electromagnetic environment is such, your body can't produce those hormones. So therefore, you're going to have a deficiency in consciousness. And that's the way the medicine that I invented works. And
right. Well, I would use all three of them.
Other thing is I express it as feeling. You know, at one point, when you get to the higher planes, thoughts don't exist anymore. It's only feeling. And when you feel from that dimension or that plane, you actually know. You don't think you know what's going on. And so, you know,
exactly. And in other words, I call it entering what's called the heliarchion, is what I've been told it is.
Yeah.
You enter the storehouse not only of all knowledge, but wisdom, thought, feeling. And that there is no such thing as we call the localized expression of being. You become a non-local being.
Right. And people that get, let's say, into greed and avarice, they lack compassion. They don't have compassion. So when compassion is, even though it's a solar plexus, you know, a corticosteroid kind of a secretion, the first thing that goes is they get a calcification of the pineal and pituitary gland. They find these at autopsies of very greedy, nasty people.
Well, what happens is, you see, you're seeing on the lower dimensional plane the physical calcification of, say, the areas of the ventricles and the pineal.
Exactly.
But on the higher dimensional plane, what you're seeing, that's why things like the NDMEs, which Joe Marion developed, or use the harmonic frequency devices that you developed, you're creating a bioharmonic field that actually regenerates the normal transfer of information between the cells and the DNA, but also the higher dimensional expressions of what we call DNA.
Exactly.
Because we see a double helix molecule.
Prototype.
Pardon me?
The prototypical etheric pattern.
Right. And in fact, I believe that although we see an archetype we call the DNA double helix,
yeah,
there's actually a prototypical higher dimensional archetype.
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
Right, of DNA in the sense that it is the DNA of our spirit body.
Yeah.
Which is why you can have these non-local, scalar effects that transcend space-time to your ancestors, et cetera.
Yeah, and, you know, the Pleiadians, they identify that as a pattern. And the lowest expression of that is a pattern that manipulates iron in our bodies, which creates our fingerprints. But
and that's why one of the reasons why iron is so toxic, iron is a time bomb, because iron catalyzes the reactions that cross-link your proteins and fry your DNA with the Fenton reaction, and also are necessary for all infective organisms to enter any tissue planes. They need free iron.
Right.
And without free iron and without heavy metals, guess what? You can't even get infected with fungi and viruses. You can't.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, it's amazing. And as we want to bring this knowledge out to the people, because there's a lot of technologies now that could extend and reverse human lifespan. What I want to see in the future, if I had the funding, is set up what I call regeneration centers, where people would come in for a matter of, say, 2 weeks every couple of years, and we would regenerate them, and they would be on a constant process with a self-regenerative field, a thing that they'd wear, plus they detoxify their bodies with specific nutraceuticals.
Yeah.
And we'd see extensions of human lifespan to 200, 300, 400, 500, 1,000 years.
Well, that's what
relatively quickly
technology will do, and we got a lot of it between the two of us. That's what we needed to explore when we get a chance.
Absolutely, and of course, these are the
not
kind of
really
topics
my
we want to.
Technology of stuff the Pleiadians dumped on me, you know.
Yeah, we want to discuss these kind of things and then start working at real concrete things, not just imaginary. Real concrete things that the public can get, because they need to detoxify their bodies. They're being poisoned with public water. They're being poisoned with electromagnetic
pollution.
Can
you hold on
pollution.
One second? I've
sure.
got to actually answer the phone because our show went over a little bit.
Yeah,
hold
absolutely.
On one second. Can you hold a second?
Sure.
Yeah. Hello? Okay, can you wait like 10 more minutes? I'm just finishing up a 2-hour radio show, and I'll call you right back. Yeah, go ahead.
We had such a good discussion. Of course, it's important that people kind of grasp that there are minds that are capable of understanding this, that we have a good attention for everyone else.
Yeah.
And that we're called the spiritual and intellectual shock troops of the new age.
Yeah.
And if we don't do this, guess what? That is not going to be available.
Yeah. Do me a favor if you get a chance. I don't know how soon you'll have it archived. But you, if you don't mind, I did a 1-hour show on Tuesday yesterday at 8:00.
Right.
Listen to that show. It'll start out a little bit slow for where you're coming from, but I wish you'd listen to that show. I think you'll kind of like it. Find some real entertainment value
excellent.
In it, pertaining to where I want to go with what I'm talking about. Because
all the technologies we've been talking about tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm about to take. We've had this discussion, you know, which has been great with you. I'm about ready to show you where it's really coming from my side, and you're going to be, I think, in a great way, totally blown away.
Well, that's what I want. You see, I'm always ready for my
consciousness. Blow you away now, Dr. Bill.
I want to be blown away.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about it is, with your input to what I know from the Pleiadians, we can get this grounded out. We can bring this energy down. I probably have it on a shelf a little bit higher reach. It takes a ladder. I think with your help, we can take the ladder and get it right down to the people, because I need help with this. I know how it goes, but I need a little bit of help of bringing it down. I think you're the perfect person for that. That's why we met in the first place.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure. I call these harmonic convergences.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't know. I'm a fairly selfish person in the way that I am very select in my relationships. I don't give people the time of day other than a professional work that I do to make a living and make their lives better. I have a very private side of me that won't talk to anybody ever.
Right.
And you've gone through that, and I call you and talk to you anytime and enjoy the conversations because I get feedback. And I guess that's selfish, but that's why I like you so much, because you have I get a lot of good feedback, and I actually learn from you. That's
well, I learn from vice versa.
You know?
You see, well, it's very challenging for those who don't like me asking questions and giving them feedback.
Yeah.
And so I find it equally interesting and enjoyable, because if most people get so challenged and get so freaked out when I ask or I explain things that they completely go over their head.
Yeah.
They don't realize that, you know, and we will sit down with people and try to explain. Over time, if they listen to all these programs, they'll understand that what we're trying to develop is literally new technologies that are very, very ancient.
Yeah, no, they're very ancient.
And, very ancient.
And
I'm
waiting. You can blow me away with, you can go over my head anytime you want.
One of the things that I like to say is that someday we are going to see the ancient future.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that great?
yeah,
I think that'll be fun. God,
yeah.
We have a lot of fun on these shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
well,
I
great.
Gotta get going. I know it's
excellent. Well, thanks everybody
show.
For listening.
My
and
freaking out. In a good way. It's all positive. But I've got a bunch of people that work for me, and they got a bunch of questions, like they always do this time of day. I gotta get on the phone.
Absolutely. Well, take care, and everyone that's listening to the program, do come and visit at Dr. Fred Bell's conference. It's coming up the end of May.
That's gonna be a mind blower. I can tell you that right now. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna raise people's consciousness, and we're gonna challenge them, and we're gonna show them technologies that they think doesn't exist.
Yeah, and we're going to demonstrate some of this, too. I'm going to demonstrate about everything we talked about today, and you'll learn about levitation in my thing I did last night. We might even levitate somebody. I'm in the mood to do that again. It's been a long time. Yeah, I want to levitate.
Okay.
That's fun.
Yep. Take care. And everybody, do stay tuned. We're going to have Dr. Fred back in a few weeks. And, of course, he has his show regularly on BBS Radio, and do listen to it and become informed and have your consciousness stretched.
Yeah, thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.